Divrei Hayamim Perek Chof Aleph Pasek. We learned yesterday Pasek Yud Beis. You give a choice. Yes.
So it would seem that HaKadosh Baruch is not willing to show some way to
cry. Absolutely not. There's no free lunch. No free lunch. There never is. Every chait, person is held responsible, accountable for every sin. And there has to be either tshuva or there will be punishment. No bad deed goes unpunished. Not like in America, not like today. No good deed goes unpunished. Alright, we're up to Parik Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Beis, we learned about the choice. David was given a choice. Let's read Pasuk Yud Beis one more. Let's read Pasuk Yud Aleph one more time. Okay, I'm going to go back to Pasuk Yud Aleph. You have a choice. Hashem told me to relate to you the following message. Either you'll have famine for 3 years. That's one possibility. Or number two, 3 months you will be nispe. Nispe means you will perish because of your enemies, and the sword of your enemies will overtake you. It's very interesting. There's a double expression. There are two parts to the second possible punishment. Nispe, to perish, b'bnei tzarecha. Look at the mitzudas tzion. Nispe means inyan kiloyon. That's the haftarah from Tisha B'Av. Asof asifem means to perish. And part of perishing, it doesn't just mean, the pasuk goes on to explain how will you perish. You will perish because you will be killed by sword. The cherev oyevecha lemaseges, the sword of your enemy will overtake you. And then he tells him the third possibility, or there'll be 3 days of the sword of Hashem. Now, what is the sword of Hashem? The pasuk continues to explain. The sword of Hashem is v'dever ba'aretz. There'll be a plague, pestilence ba'aretz. U'malach Hashem mashchis. The malach Hashem will destroy b'chol gvul Yisrael. Period. And then God says to David, the atah nare, contemplate, think about your choices. Mo oshiv esholchi davar. What should I return to Hashem? What davar? What word shall I return to Hashem? What should I tell Hashem? Shall be your choice. It's interesting. Why does the Malach have to return? Hashem knows everything. Hashem knows everything. So why did the Navi have to say, David, tell me what you want? I'll go back and tell Hashem. It's very interesting. David doesn't need. David can say what he wants, and Hashem, omnipotent, knows what you're thinking. I don't know. I don't know the answer why that is so. Now, just
choice.
What?
Why
choice? So I want to. There's one. There's
Hashem
one.
Has a
right. Okay. So there is one thing which caught my attention. I try when I can. I don't. Unfortunately, I'm not. I don't behave well. I don't have that much time to prepare. But in the parallel, what's very good about learning Divrei Hayamim is you're able to cheat. You're able to go to Sefer Shmuel, and you're able to go to Sefer Melachim, and learn about the same event, learn about the event in where it appears there, and save there are an enormous number of Svarim on Sefer Shmuel and on Sefer Melachim, and you're able to gain some more insight into what exactly happened. So there are some very fascinating Mefarshim in Sefer Shmuel, the very instances of Sefer Shmuel, which tell us why the choices. Okay, so I'm quoting here. In fact, this is from, who mentions this? I'm not sure. I saw this, is this Rashi? This is actually Rashi. Okay, I'm not sure. I think it could be this is a Rashi. Yeah, this is Rashi. Rashi in Sefer Shmuel opens up Perek Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Dalit Pasik Yud, and it's a Rashi, and Rashi says something that's amazing. The reason why David was given a choice, because what's happening here parallels David's relationship with Shaul. Now let's take, before we explain this, let's just take one step back. When we started this Perek of Aleph, it began with the word Vayamod Satan Al Yisrael Vayoses Es David, incited David Lindois Es Yisrael, to count the Jewish people. Why did the pasuk choose the word Vayoses? The answer comes from Shmuel Aleph, when David said about Shaul Vayomer. Lama ze Adoni roidef achare avdo. What are you so obsessed, Shaul? Why are you trying to kill me? Why are you trying to pursue me? Kimel sisi, what have I done to you? What have I done to you that Uma biyadi ro'ah? What evil have I caused you, done to you, that you are trying to kill me? I'm reading now from Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yutes. Now here's the key to the whole story here, what's happening at the end of David's lifetime. V'ata yishmano Adoni HaMelech, listen to me, Eis Divrei Avdo, Im Hashem, David says to Shaul, If Hashem has sischavi, if Hashem has incited you against me, yorach mincha, no problem. All we need to do is I will bring a mincha. So I have sinned, if I have committed an avera, and therefore Hashem has incited you to come to kill me, to punish me. That's not a big deal. All I need to do is offer Hashem a karbon to atone for my sin, and then Hashem will remove his influence from you in inciting you to kill me. Yerach mincha. V'im b'nei ha'odam. And if people have persuaded you to kill me, the reason why you're trying to kill me is because you've been convinced by other human beings that I'm evil, that's not a problem. V'im b'nei ha'odam arudim him l'fnei Hashem. They are wrong, they're making a mistake, don't trust them, then we can deal with them as well. Okay, let's just go. The point that we need for our discussion is this one word. David made a mistake. David, speaking to Shaul was the Bechir Hashem. He was a very holy person. He was the first Melech. He was anointed by Shmuel. And David accused Shaul of being a victim of Hashem's incitement. Im Hashem hesischa vi. If Hashem has incited you against me, this is not the proper thing for David to say to Melech Shaul. And therefore, as a punishment for his slip of tongue, in our sefer Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis Pasuk Aleph Vayoses es David, Hashem incited David to make a mistake to count Klal Yisrael and bring upon them a magefa.
But is it arrogance? The second part of what he's saying is like arrogance. Guarantee, oh, problem, I'll fix it with God.
That's really part of the problem. Absolutely. So okay, we can't judge David. David was not in any way arrogant, but on David's exalted level, this was considered to be a chet. Let me read you what it says in over here in the Mitzudos. Im Hashem, im hadavar me Hashem, umitzad ha'inish. I'm reading from the words of the Mitzudos here in Shmuel Aleph. If this matter, why you are obsessed with killing me? And why are you doing this? Maybe because Hashem planted this idea in your mind. Im hadavar me Hashem umitzad ha'inish. Hashem wants to punish me for my sins. No problem. I'll take care of it. Akriv mincha laHashem v'hiratzon sheyekabel l'reach nichoyach v'yoraf mimeni, and therefore you will that then the sin will run away, will remove itself from me. V'im b'nei ha'odam heim hisito oscha olai, if people have incited you against me, ki abechira chavshes b'adam be'ein matzar, then let me engage you, let me debate with you and with them if really I have committed a wrongdoing. Okay, but the point is, it was disrespectful to David to speak like this to Shaul HaMelech with these words, and therefore, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished David by causing David to be a mesis, for David to be the one who will now make a mistake and bring upon Klal Yisrael harm. Okay, now another very, very, very major question is, just because David may have sinned, okay, David sinned, okay, he was not respectful to Shaul. And now it's towards the end of David's life, and David, well, not necessarily the end of David's life, but it's later in David's life, and David now, it's the pain-based ministry, now David has to be responsible for his sins. But why should Klal Yisrael have to suffer because of David's sin? So the Medrash also comes to the rescue and tells us that if you studied Sefer Shmuel, three times did Klal Yisrael rebel against David. They rebelled Avshalom, Ishbosheth, and Shevna. So there were three different events in Sefer, not to go through all the stories now, but there were three separate events in Sefer Shmuel where there was a lack of loyalty to their melech, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch at this point wanted, Hashem does not allow sins to accumulate. Hashem wants there to be payment for sins. That's one of the chasadim, that Mavir Rishon Rishon. That's one of the major differences between Klal Yisrael, and one of the major differences in HaKadosh Baruch who conducts his Hanhaga with Klal Yisrael relative to the nations of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single punishes Klal Yisrael little by little, not to allow their sins to accumulate to a point where it's unbearable. By the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the Goyim to sin, Hashem does not punish them. Their sins accumulate to a point where it's just too much to bear, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely obliterates that nation off the face of the earth. That's why in the history of the world, nations come and go. Nations rise. They live a lifestyle that is not proper, that is obviously molichet. And then it comes a certain point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their sins accumulate, Hashem wipes them off the face of the earth. Like Klal Yisrael, yeah?
But in the accumulation period where he gives them more time, yeah, the Israel are suffering.
That's right, but that's the trade-off. That's the trade-off. The trade-off is because we suffer little by little, we remain forever. Because Hashem wants us to be around forever, and the only way to make sure we are forever is not to allow our sins to accumulate to a point where we would be obliterated, where we would be too much for us to deal with. Therefore, every little by little, HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies us by bringing upon Klal Yisrael, Rachman Letzlan, Yisurim, or Hashem, every single year on Yom HaKippurim, gives us the opportunity to clean the slate. If we do a proper tshuva every year on Yom HaKippurim, the Sar LaZazel will carry the sins of Klal Yisrael LaZazel, and we have a clean slate. The Goyim have no such opportunity. The sins accumulate, and there comes a point in time Hashem just wipes them off the face of the earth. So therefore, that's what's happening over here. Over here, what? There is tshuva Ninveh. We have the mice of Ninveh. We're Yonah. They could wipe the slate, but it's much, much more difficult. There's a tradition, I don't know the exact source at this moment in time, shortly after people don't know this story, but shortly after Ninveh did tshuva, Yonah comes to Ninveh, and he tells them the message from Hashem. They do tshuva. But then shortly thereafter, not much longer, they went back to their old ways, and they were wiped off the face of the earth. They were completely destroyed. So the whole story of Yom Kippur is a very nice story. You know, on Yom Kippur, after Yoyna, we learn about the amazing power of tshuva. That's right, it was. There's no question about it. Problem was that the people of Ninveh, unfortunately, at a later point in time, not much thereafter, they went back to their old ways, and there was no Yonah at that point in time to come and save them, and Hashem had no choice but to punish them, and they were finished. There's no Ninveh today. Today, the descendants, that nation, whatever it is today, it's just a new nation that took over the real estate. They're squatters. But it's not the same original people of Ninveh. Okay, so that is what is happening over here. At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not much after the story of David and Shaul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is coming to clean the slate. He's coming to clean two slates. David's slate and the slate of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, in their relationship with David, rebelled three times. They were not loyal to him, and that was a sin on their part. They deserved punishment. David, who did not speak, who did not conduct himself 100% properly with the Melech Shaul, even though, what do you want from the poor guy, David? Shaul's trying to kill him. Nevertheless, on David's exalted Madrega, and on the exalted Madrega of Shaul, David should have still exercised some degree of restraint in how he spoke to Shaul, and therefore, David said to Shaul, Hashem incited you? Hashem, how dare you say that to Shaul? I'm going to incite you, and you'll do it a terrible sin. Why should the Jewish people have to suffer? Because the Jewish people also deserve to suffer, because they were not loyal to their King David in three important events in Sefer Shmuel, and therefore they had to suffer. Now, what are the choice of punishment? So this is also very, very critical. The choice of punishment also relate to the way David spoke to Shaul. Let me read you another pasuk in Perek Chof Hey. This is what Rashi says. Rashi in Sefer Shmuel cites this pasuk. Rashi says, "Vayavoy Nare David, Okay, Vaidabru El Novel Kuchol Hadvar Ma'ila. No, I'm sorry, I'm with the Pasik, what Pasik? Pasik Ches. Okay, I'm going back to Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perik Chof Hei. Sha'ales Nerechov Yagidu Loch. Vimsu Hanodim Chain. Wait, where am I reading from? I'm reading the wrong pasuk. Give me one second. Rashi quotes. Okay, give me one second to find the pasuk. The Rashi really quotes this pasuk. Perik Lamid. Okay, Perik Chaf Vav. Perik Chaf Pasuk Yud. Chaf Hey. Chaf Vav Pasuk. Here it is. Okay, when David was running away, Vayomer David el Avishai al tashchiseu. David at one point in time had an opportunity to kill Shaul. Shaul, different events where Shaul was trying to kill David, and Shaul he went to Beis Akisei, where Shaul was sleeping. So David had an opportunity to kill Shaul, and David did not. He chose not to kill Shaul. And David said, "Chas v'shalom to be shaleach yad the Mashiach Hashem, the Bechir Hashem, he'll die on his own." It's a very powerful limud hamusar. Vayomer, he said, "Vayomer David." David said, "Chai Hashem, ki im Hashem yigofenu. Shaul will die. How will Shaul die? Hashem will strike him down. Oy, or if Hashem does not strike him down." Yomo yovoi vomes, his day will come. Now here, I'm sorry. Here, his day will come and he'll die. Oy vamulchama yered v'nispa, or he will die in war. Three things. David said, "I will not be the one that will take the life of Shaul. Shaul will die in one of three ways. He'll die in a magefa, or yomo yovoi vomes, which simply refers that he'll die to other." Circumstances, maybe due to starvation, there were famines, or he'll die in war. So when David restrained himself from killing Shaul, he said he'll die. It's not respectful for David to say about Shaul, the Bechir Hashem, he'll die in one of these three ways. Hashem will send out a plague, or Hashem will cause him to starve, or he'll die in war. That's not respectful. Therefore, now in this event where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to clean the slate of David to hold him responsible for his sins, Hashem is giving David the same three choices. You have to suffer. Just like you said about Shaul that he will die in one of these three ways, your people will die in one of these three ways. Either it's going to be with Dever, or it's going to be with starvation, or it's going to be with war. And therefore, choose what you want, because you gave Shaul a choice, or you gave Hashem a choice, by telling that's what's going to happen to him. So everything here in, say, in this section, this event, this episode, is Nida Keneged Nida. This pasuk, this connection is said by none other than Rashi himself. Rashi, in Sefer Shmuel Beis, cites this pasuk. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him these choices? Rashi says, because David said about Shaul, he's going to die in one of these three ways. Everything here is Nida Keneged Nida. Okay, so now with that in mind, let's go back to this pasuk. We also mentioned, I don't have an answer. I didn't get to see. I'm sure someone talks about the significance of the time. These three choices of famine. If it's going to be famine, it's going to be a prolonged process. 3 years. And it's going to be through war, it's going to be 3 months. And it's going to be through Dever, it's going to be 3 days. So I don't know the answer, but we have to assume that time plays a factor, and the type of death is a different type of death. It's a different... So when everything is matched up against each other, we have to assume that everything equals out. I'm just guessing that dying through famine, I told you yesterday the type of famine where you're starving to death, that's obviously very painful, but many times famine is not that severe. You have what to eat, it's just that you don't have enough what to eat. It could be that the type of death of starvation, a slow type of starvation, is not as traumatic, I don't know, so we don't know what these things are, as the dever, the plague that can come upon a person, the plague will be only within 3 days. It could be that when there's more trauma, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim, it's done in a shorter period of time. When there's less trauma, when it's over a prolonged period of time, then to compensate for the lack of trauma, then the time becomes more of a factor. I don't know how to judge this because, you know, they always say these debates when people, Rahman Watslan, they die, and they always talk about that they suffer for a very long time. And that's all relative. What suffering is for some people, just knowing about the fact that they're not well, even though they're not suffering. Baruch Hashem, today there's modern medicine, they can do incredible things. They can take away pain, can be definitely minimized to a very great degree. But for many people, just the knowledge that their time is limited, that itself is such agmas nefesh, it's not, life is not worth living. For other people, you see, they don't know. They thrive. They know they have a certain amount of time left, and they accomplish in those years more than they accomplished their entire life. So you can't generalize. Every person, every situation is obviously different, but it's something that you can't ignore. It's something that definitely, especially today, I mean, today, that's really the big thing today in modern medicine. They can prolong a person's life for years. And everyone is debating this issue. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth to live so many more years and suffer in all these different agony, waiting, and knowing than just the way it appears to have been during time Chazal? During time Chazal, no one knew nothing. Person didn't feel well. So, 3-4 days later, it was over. Right? Isn't that how it appears in the Gemara? The Gemara talks about 3 days, 7 days. I do not know, but it's very, very interesting in this pasuk, three different types of death, and with the three different types of death come three different time periods. 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days. Now, by the way, over here there's a discrepancy between what it says here in Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel says that it was 7 years of famine, not 3 years of famine, and all the commentators deal with that, and they answer that there already was a famine going on. That when this event happened, the time of David, and David, Hashem said, I'm going to bring a famine for 3 years, there already was a famine of 3 years, or 4 years. And Hashem was saying, it's going to continue and get worse for 3 years, or it's going to come to an end right now. The recession was planned to come, was meant to be over at this point in time. There was a recession. According to our divine plan, the recession was about to come to a close. But since now I have to clean the slate and punish you for your sins, I'm going to expand it for another 4 years. Is that was one of the choices that Hashem was giving David. Okay, let's see here though. Yeah?
Three cases of rebellion against David.
Yes.
Did Bnei Yisrael have any legitimacy in any of the three cases?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not, only because it's David HaMelech? Or they didn't have legitimacy in what they were saying?
There's a law in the Torah, Soim Tasim Alecha Melech.
I understand that. In other words, there's a real concept of the infallibility of the Melech.
Correct.
So the Bnei Yisrael, with the three rebellions, they knew they were losing.
So that's like every miss. Every time a person does an aveir, he knows he's losing. Hashem says, don't eat non-kosher meat. The person chooses to eat non-kosher meat. He eats an act of rebellion against Hashem. So what are you going to say? I can't control myself. I'm hungry. It's delicious.
In three cases,
yeah.
Did they have a case?
No, they had no case. No, they fooled themselves into thinking they had a case, but they had no case. Soim, the Torah says, you have a melech. I'm going to select the melech through the Navi. And this is your melech, whether you like it or not. It's a melech is not the president of the United States. You don't vote him out after 4 or 8 years, and there's no impeachment process. That's not the way it works. It's not an employee. It's not a boss. You can't have a unionize and rebel and go on strike. It's not the way it works in the Torah. The Torah has a set of rules of how to deal with the melech. And they were sinful in any small degree of rebellion against David HaMelech. There's nothing to talk about. Okay, so this is the choices. So let's read over here the Rash and the Mitzudos. Let's first read the Mitzudos and Pasuk. Let's see which Pasuk we're up to. Yosef, Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, let's go that again. Mshalashanim. Let's go to Pasuk. Yud, Pasik Yud in the Mitzudos. So says Hashem, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you a choice of three different possible punishments. Shalosh, Shalosh, Achas, Mishalosh. V'chein b'shtaim tischatein vi v'ratzoloimar v'achas mishem. So according to the pasuk Shmuel Aleph, shalosh means you have one of three. Choose one of. Because if you take the pasuk literally, pasuk yud, you can be misled to translate that Hashem is going to bring upon Klal Yisrael all three. Read the pasuk. Koyim Hashem shalosh ani no te'olach. Is that what it says? Three punishments. So the Mitzvah is coming to explain to us that from the context, you cannot take this pasuk literally. You have to take this pasuk within context of the other pasukim. Shalosh means achas mi shalosh, one of three. Okay, there we go. He gives another pasuk and Shmuel off the side. Then the pasuk yud beis im shaloshanim chomor hanegev haba bavur haminyan nibli koyfer. It's going to be, you're going to have 3 years of Negev. That's one possibility. There's going to be a Rav because of David did not count Klal Yisrael with a Kapara with Shkolim. Limaseges, Lios Maseges, or so the second choice was you're going to have war for 3 months and you will be defeated. Or the third choice is Cherev Hashem, the next Mitzudos. Shalosha Yamim Cherev Hashem, Ratzulaymar. Yokel Bedavar, Liyozman Mugbol. It will be light. One thing I will give you, I will lighten the burden by having it only last for 3 days. Uvahashkochas Hamokoim. But there is, and also, Rashi already is coming to allude to David's selection, that the advantage of a Dever is it's going to be administered by Hashem. When there is war, the punishment is being carried out by human beings. Human beings are cruel, are vicious, or starvation. Also, when there's starvation, it's also we're left to nature. We're left to nature. We're left to the suffering of other human beings, or we can be punished directly by Hashem. So, of course, David's going to select a punishment that comes directly from Hashem, because since Hashem is in control of everything, Hashem has the right, the power to exercise restraint. It's direct. Whereas once Hashem gives over his reshus to nature to cause us to suffer through starvation, or to give over his permission to man, in some respect Hashem is more removed from the punishment, and that makes it more difficult for us to intervene, to do tshuva, and to ask Hashem to intervene that there shall, the punishment shall be withheld. Okay, v'dever Hashem kafal adav pam shal shal b'ashama k'dech ha-nekwa. Re'ei, next mitzudas, b'ri'as ha-lev v'havanasa, contemplate. Contemplate these three different possible punishments and decide which one you want. Es sholchi, I have to go back and report to the one who sent me, who is sholchi Hashem, hu ha-mokoyim, baruch hu. Let's see, Rashi, Pasik, we did all the Rashi's here. Okay, so now we could go further. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayoymer, now this is the Pasuk that we say every single day, part of Tachanun. And in fact, some people, we discussed this, not everyone says this. You'd be surprised to know that not every barn, not every community says, even though it's printed in the Siddur, we begin this before Tachanun. And the reason why you don't know about this is because this Pasuk is said very quietly when you put your head down. So no one knows what's going on. It's one thing, go to Shul and they don't say Tachanun. Oh, this is mamish. This is beferhesia. This is with the Anva Edi, not saying Tachnon. But no one knows if you do say Tachnon, you put your head down, no one knows what people are saying when they put their head down. Who knows? Maybe they're saying Ashrei. Maybe they're cheating. Maybe they're learning, they're saying some Divrei Hayamim. What?
But it's in large print.
Okay, but not everyone says this. And one of the reasons why not everyone says it is because this pasuk is not a reminder of a very horrible event, and we don't do that. That's not something which we try to do to remind ourselves of horrible circumstances in Klal Yisrael. Here, there was going to be a magefa, terba Hashem offered a choice of punishment, and David responds, "Vayomer David el God, tsar li mod eplonon." He responds, "Eplonon viyad Hashem. If I have to suffer, let me suffer through the hand of Hashem. I'll take the 3 days of dever rather than take the 3 years or 3 months of famine or war. Niplno viyad Hashem ki rabim rachama, because His mercy is great. Uviyad adam ale polo, I do not want to fall in the hands of men." Now there are many things that have to be discussed. First of all, when it comes to war, we understand why it says viyad adam. But when it comes to famine, why is famine called biyad adam? Simply, famine is nature. And that would make a lot of sense. There are three different types of ways people can suffer in this world. You can suffer due to circumstance, mazel, which basically is teva, nature. That's the way you're born into a certain situation of poverty or lack of opportunity or this famine, whatever there is. That's nature, that's teva. Then there is where there's war. There's no one to blame. The only reason why you have problems is because you're at war with another nation. And then there is something which is the Yad Hashem. The Yad Hashem, Hashem went and brought this punishment upon a person. It's l'malim derech ha-teva. So why then does David say v'yad adam alepol? So the answer is because when a person is starving, what does he do? You call the United Nations and you ask for relief. And they send, Baruch Hashem, we live in a world of chesed, and Baruch Hashem, the United Nations, they do, one thing they do is they send a lot of food all over the world. There's a lot of surplus in certain countries. It's pretty good that's a tremendous, you know, we criticize the United Nations, they do nothing. It's not true. There's one thing that they do very well, to some degree, is that they provide for starving people. We take it for granted, the people that are starving all over the world, they are very instrumental in transferring to them basic, not what we would want to eat for dinner every night, but they have what they don't starve to death. And that's an incredible chesed. Cannot take that lightly. But that's a humiliation for the country. If the country is starving and they have to go beg for food, who's going to end up giving them food? Another country. That's called Yad Adam. It's not the death is not going to come through Yad Adam, but the humiliation of asking for handouts will come Yad Adam, and that's all part of the suffering. So both the war and starvation is grouped together in Yad Adam. War is death Yad Adam. Starvation, before the person starves, he goes through a process of asking for handouts to survive, and that's humiliation biyad adam. Yeah.
Is that we say in Birchas Hamazon? Lo lidei
matanas basar v'dam. Yes, that's part. We don't want to come to this humiliation of asking for handouts for tzedakah. You know the joke, lo matanas basar v'dam. When you go to the rav and you shake his hand, you have to put a check in between your hand and his hand. So if there's no check in between, then what do you get? He gives you his hand. Basar v'dam. I don't want it to ever come lidei matnas. Basar v'dam. I don't want to feel his flesh. I want there to be a hefsek of a nice check. You never heard that before? Okay, you heard here. Now you know it. Lidei matnas basar v'dam. So this is Yad Adam. Let's see what it says. Again, this is a famous pasuk saying Davening. Let's see very carefully what it says here in the Mitzudos. Tsar li me'od. David says, okay, we say this in Davening. You have to know what it says. Tsar li me'od. Ka'omer. It's as if he's saying, Haloi kulam kashos. What kind of thing is this? This is ridiculous stuff it says. You're giving me a choice. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. We're going to die one of three deaths. Like a person on death row, how do you want to die? Lethal injection, or a firing squad, or what other choice? Hanging. What kind of choices are you giving me? How could I think? That's exactly what it's saying. What kind of thing is a tsarli ma'od? That's the type of life I have to deal with. A choice of how to die. Koimer haloi kulam koshosheim lima'od v'im kol zeh. But after considering the three different choices, I will decide. I will take the third choice of the Dever, the Cheref Hashem, the Imko Eple Biyad Hashem, Zoha Dever. That's the third choice. Why? That's called the Yad Hashem. Kirachem of Mirubim, the Rachem Yirachem. If Hashem is administering the punishment, there is a very great possibility that he will have compassion and he will restrain himself or at least administer it in the most dignified and compassionate way. If you're going to let some Shugna come in, give it over to a human being or to a suffering teva, that's not in Hashem's hands. That's going to be much worse. Rachem Yirachem. Okay, let's see. V'yad Adam, next words of the Mitzvah. Oh, that's a very, very excellent question. So you're asking an excellent hashkafic question. And this episode is a great source for hashkafa, to talk about how does the world work. Exactly. Everything is biyad Hashem. When a person goes to war and a person dies, you're not going to say that that every bullet has an address. Every single step in battle was orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Who's going to die? Who's going to live? And when there's starvation, who lives, who dies? You're not going to say that it's not from Russia. Me Barav, we say this on the Yom Ha'Ram in the Sanatogev. So you're asking an excellent, excellent question. So the answer is there are different levels. Everything ultimately is Biyad Hashem. That's for sure. Every bullet has an address. Every person who starves is Biyad Hashem. But there are different levels of Hester Panim and possibilities where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can intervene in the very last moment and reverse it. Hashem always can reverse the situation. But there are different Madrigals. And that's what we learned from this episode.
So can, with Hashem's interference, readdress the bullet?
No. But it's much harder. It's much, much harder to readdress the bullet relative to when Hashem is the one that's the Yodayim bringing.
Now you're appealing to Hashem to readdress the bullet.
But it's going to take a lot more tefillah and rachamim and negotiation with Hashem to convince Hashem to readdress the bullet than the other type of dever plague, other type of punishment where Hashem himself is bringing this punishment of dever, which it's not even really clear what that is. What exactly is dever? Why is that different than a disease, than a starvation? It's disease. Disease is also teva. It's also teva. So, I mean, where do you draw the line? But obviously, this type of dever that we're discussing is something that's more direct, biyad Hashem. And that's what we say, Chazal said, the person should be mistal that he should not get sick. Because once he gets sick, it's very, very hard. The same tefillah, when a person is sick, Rachman al-Tzlan, and he's mispal to Hashem, so Hashem will say, I'm sorry, I can't. The answer is no, I'm not going to accept your prayer. That exact same prayer, had it been recited before the person was sick, asking Hashem that he should not get sick, would have been effective in him not becoming sick to begin with. So you see such a thing, that a tefillah in the right time is effective to prevent something from happening. But once something is in motion,
that means you have the disease already.
That's correct, because
we don't say
that is correct.
Prevent disease.
That is correct, but there is such a thing that a person should also have kavan not to get sick. There are different. You have to look, study the nusach atfilah and study the commentaries. What exactly it means, but there is something called to be mispalo before the tzara. Tfilah kodem the tzara. We discussed this on Simchas Torah. We learned this idea from I. When Avraham Avinu was traveling, when Hashem told him, Lechla, next week's parsha, Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael, and traveling to Eretz Yisrael, came across the city of Ai. Avraham Avinu had Ruach HaKodesh. He saw that the day will come, 2,000 years later, when his descendants would conquer Yericho, and then the next battle would be Ai, and he saw there was going to be a problem, there's going to be a loss, a defeat, they would be defeated. And the Chazal say, if Avraham Avinu, he stopped, and was mispalel to Hashem, he built a mizbeach, that Klal Yisrael should survive the difficulty, the battle of Ai. Chazal say, if Avraham would not have been mispalel at that moment in time, Klal Yisrael would have been wiped off the map in the battle of Ai. Oh, what about all of the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe? It doesn't matter. The chait of taking from the spoils of Yericho, what Achan had done, was so great, it would have been the end of Klal Yisrael, and all of the kashas you have, no, they'll be kashas, you're not going to have an answer for. It's only because Avram was mispalel before the tzara. Before the tzara is able to mitigate the tzara, that there would be survivors, we would be able to overcome this difficulty. That's a very difficult, but once you're in it, it's too late. That's exactly what's happening over here. You see this concept over here when it comes to three types of punishments. If it's going to be a punishment that's administered by a basar v'dam, it's going to be much, much more difficult to overcome, to mitigate, than if it's a punishment that's administered directly by Hashem. Okay, let's go further in the mitzudos. So that, it will v'yad adam, Kigam ba'avur harav. Now he's over here. I told you this just one moment ago. Why does the pasuk say ibiad ha'adam al epol? I do not want to fall in the hand of man, but famine is not in the hand of man. So the Metzudas explains the answer. Kigam ba'avur harav yitztarchu livnei adam. You need people. You need to come beg for food. You need to appeal to the United Nations to send in some emergency shipments of food. And v'heimo lo yirachamu. And since Hashem decreed that they will die through famine, the end will be they will not come through. They will not save you. There will be some technical red tape they can't cut to get you the food, and there'll be humiliation, and which ultimately will result in death anyway. So let's see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud gimel tsar li ma'ot. So David says to God, to Hashem, Ato Oimer, you're telling me, B'char l'cho hakal shabohem, you're telling me to choose the lightest of them. Koshali v'tzar li ma'od alav. What kind of choice are you giving me? Moshul adam sh'amru lo hin chames. You're gonna die. Where do you want to be buried? That's the only, at this point in your illness, the only choice you have to make is, where do you want to be buried? There are no more choices. No more choice of this doctor, that doctor, this treatment. There's only one choice you need to make at this point. Where would you like to be buried? Woe to ears that are in a situation where that's the choice, those are the choice he has to make, so he's saying the same exact thing. And obviously there's a lot of depth, I don't know the depth, there's a lot of depth, because if you were writing this parish, okay, if you were in Rashi's shoes, and you were writing a parish, I don't think you would give this mashal. You wouldn't give a mashal, mother, father, where do you want to be buried? That's not a perfect mashal. We haven't got to that state yet. We're dealing with death. We're not dealing with being buried. Being buried is after death. After death, everything is peaceful. Person already is in the next world, wherever that is, it is. For better or for worse, Gehenim Gan Eden. But what kind of mashal is this? What's going on over here? If you were writing this parish, this mashal, I don't know if it's a medrash or Rashi saying this on his own. And I think it's a medrash because I saw this here in the Midrashim as well. So Rashi is probably drawing from a medrash. Okay, not sure, maybe not. But it requires bayer. I don't know what it means. The mashal. Something to keep in mind. Maybe we'll come across some interpretation at some point in time. Again, this is not the mashal. What?
This is the only decision left. He's going to die. So.
But there's a very important how to die. How to die? How to die is how to die is there's pain. There is. Time and pain, psychological pain. Some people will say, "You know, today there's very big debates to pull the plug, not to pull the plug." About the guy, even among Klal Yisrael, there are different opinions about brain death. All these different shilas. So there are people that go to heroic measures. In the hospitals, they go crazy because the whole culture in America today in the world is to cut it short as possible.
World.
What?
Oh, no, in the rest of the world.
In the world, in America also. No?
It's different from Russia.
They have freedom, though. They put a lot of pressure.
You said the whole health courses would spend within the last month of a person's life or something.
Okay, but like they're talking about the very end stages of life. Very end stage of life, intubation, and to do, and to resuscitate, to DNR. So the culture in America is no DNR, zero, no intubation, nothing. Everything should come to an end as soon as possible. That is
Blasio's father.
I think it's the person that's dying.
They have a choice.
Right,
but they put a lot of pressure. The hospitals, the staff of the hospitals, is a fact, put an enormous amount of pressure on the family.
They want to keep costs down.
They want to keep costs down, and they don't believe it. It's more than keeping costs down, they don't believe in it. The doctors have seen so much.
It's
what?
It's cost.
It's not only cost. It's not. It's okay. Unfortunately, I've been there.
Futility of care, they say.
What?
Futility of care, meaning there isn't.
Okay, there are different issues, but they really, really. Unfortunately, I've witnessed this firsthand twice. They really put a lot of pressure to do things their way. And their way is not necessarily the halachic way. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Depends. You can't generalize. Every case is different. But overall, they, if you tell them, no, we're going to do things the halachic way, they get very upset. They have no choice because there are laws and so on and so forth. They have no choice, but they're not very happy. But Hasidim, they really go to town. I mean, it depends too. I shouldn't say that. You can't generalize. But there are people that go to extreme measures beyond what even most Rabbanim are happy with. Why? Because there's this concept called Chayei Shah. Right? Chayei Shah. Every moment of life, even a vegetative state, is worth, is nitzchi, is compared to what the neshama after he dies. So there are people who believe, and this goes on ma'isim chol yom, to extend life at all costs, at any cost, at pain, no matter, and even extreme pain, to keep a person alive no matter what, as long as on the machine there's something blinking, go for it no matter what. And the hospitals, they go out of their minds. Look at this story here. This is an amazing insight. This story here. David is presented with three choices. 7 years. 7 years of starvation. Right? Not seven, 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. And they already were suffering for 4 years. Because that's keeping in mind. So it's not like a new thing. Okay, they're already in a... 3 years. 3 years of starvation. That's a very long time. That's Chayisha. What?
But there's time for reversal.
No, there's not. Not necessarily. Reversal, no. It doesn't say anything about reversal. What does it say about reversal?
Because there's a period of time, there's always a chance of reversal.
So you're saying there's more chance of reversal during the time of 3 years? Okay, but let's just take the facts the way they're presented. 3 years. So talk to people today who believe in the Chayisha. People who believe that you should preserve a person's life in a vegetative state and do everything possible, any technique and any medicine that you have, you should give the person in order to keep them alive for forever. And then, yeah, you had an opportunity here. You had an opportunity to die in 3 years from now through starvation at the expense of great suffering. And then you have the second choice, to die in battle, three months. And then, in 3 days, it'll be all over. That's all it takes. In 3 days, it's over. So what does David go for? The 3 days. What about Chayisha? Think of what the neshama could accomplish in this world, in any state it's in, even a state of starvation, if it's allowed to remain in this world for 3 years. Even the best doctors can't keep people that are terminally ill alive for 3 years.
Shouldn't this choice also see Klal Yisrael? How many is the idea?
Well, we don't know. That information is not presented. It doesn't say how many will die.
If there's going to be starvation,
how many will
die? If there's going to be war, there's going to be people going to die.
It doesn't say the numbers. It does the number. It says after the fact, it tells us how many people died.
But you have to assume that people are going to die.
Of course they're going to die. Hashem says they're going to die.
But it shouldn't be his well-being. He should take into account Klal Yisrael's well-being.
He is. David does take into account. We'll see what he says. He says that she says to Hashem, why should they suffer? It's my sin. So let me suffer. Let me suffer. My family suffer. Keep them out of it. Keep Klal Yisrael out of it. He does. He pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem says, no. They're going to die. They're going to die. Your sin is going to cause them to die. And we explained from Chazal, Rashi told us, because not only because of David, Klal Yisrael was guilty. Hashem has his cheshbonos. Everyone gets what they deserve at some point in time. So Hashem chose that this is the time when they're going to suffer rebellion against you as well. But it's an amazing piece of information to take in mind today, and especially today more than ever in the whole history of the world, where we have this thing called modern medicine, where we can keep a person alive with incredible techniques can be done to preserve a person's life, but at what cost? To what cost? The cost of suffering to the person, the cost of suffering to the family, the cost of suffering, talk about money, the whole country will go broke, and the family will go broke, and the person doesn't know what's going on. The person is in a very deep coma, and you're not killing him, you're dying, you're doing it, it's being done naturally. Where do you draw the line? No one knows the answer to this question. But look at David. David, to some degree, had this choice as well. He had a choice of 3 years. 3 years. And David said, no, I'd rather go for the three-day death. It'll be over in 3 days. And that way it'll be Biyad Hashem. even though I'm not going to give all of those neshamos the opportunity of chaye shah. So there is something to learn from this.
3 days.
I don't know. Is there maybe not?
This is also can be considered. It's a rush to Gan Eden.
Yeah, but people who believe in Chaye Shah, those who are proponents of Chaye Shah believe that every moment you're in this world, even in a state of unconsciousness, the neshama is undergoing a tikkun, that a second of tikkun in this world is worth nitzrius in Olam Haba. What?
No concept of rush to Gan Eden.
No such concept. No one says rush to Gan Eden.
Whatever, you can say Yisurayava, some people.
Where do you draw the line?
No,
no one knows. No one knows. Everyone is different.
There's no agreement on, like you said, brain death versus...
No agreement. There's all these different situations.
That's the biggest issue.
Most of the post... What?
Blasio's father was terminally ill. He killed himself.
Who's Blasio?
Blasio, the mayor.
The next mayor.
The next
Democratic candidate.
The next mayor.
Yes. Yeah. So what happened with his father?
His father was terminally ill.
Yeah.
Committed.
When was this?
Years ago.
Okay, that's not uncommon. That's not uncommon. There are many stories. I mean, there are stories with doctors, and there are stories with doctors that doctors who know this disease. So when they diagnose themselves with ill disease that they treat other patients, and they know what's coming, they kill themselves. Ma'aseh b'chol yom. But it happens. You hear these stories. It's no joke. But there's something to learn from this. No, you can't deny that. You're dealing here with time. You're dealing with choices. Time versus pain versus Biyat Hashem. There's something to be discussed. There are no models, because any model, any Rai you bring one way, some will bring you 10 Rais the other way. And anything that you, the way you interpret these psukim one way, some will come along and reinterpret them the other way. It's Chomer L'drush. You can say what you want to say, and you have to have a thick skin to stand up to the opposition who will reinterpret these same exact sources, twisted in other ways. Yeah. Every person, Baruch,
yeah. The doctor had a disagreement with Rabbi
Dov Cohen. This is my Simba Chol Yom. My Simba Chol Yom.
This is my rabbi.
My Simba Chol Yom. In my situation, things that I've dealt with, every single day of fighting over these issues, and you want to do what's right. You want there to be the least pain. Should be the most important thing is, no, the code word is comfortable. That's you know, the word. We're going to make the person comfortable. What does it mean, comfortable? In their vernacular, it's a code. We're going to end this as soon as possible. That's what it means. When they say that to you, that's what it means. And you know, it's not always in their best interest. Because in nursing homes, they make a killing every day. By the nursing homes, they many times they don't have a certain number of days where it's profitable. Everything is money. It's very complicated. Hospitals.
It's just the opposite. The more time they keep them, they get more money from them.
Yeah, they want to keep them. The proof is they keep them even after they die. They keep them. Just keep the machine. Keep the. I know it's not. I know these stories. Just keep the machines running. Don't ask. Don't tell. Every day, it's tens of thousands of dollars in your pocket. What?
You'll turn into a hospital.
Yes, so everyone has their agenda. Everyone has an agenda. All right, so that concludes the sinners of the Rashi. The Rashi, let's finish the Rashi, and we'll stop. The Rashi says, Epla, okay, one more time, the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Sali Mod, Ato Emer, Bechlechel, Hadakal, Hakashim, we gave this mashal again. I told you this mashal is a very, very difficult mashal. And I don't know the pshat in the mashal, and we have to think about it, because there's a much more important decision here to make, and that is how to die. And David's already up to the decision of where to be buried. That's not the right mashal for this. What is Rashi trying to tell us? I do not know. Now he comes to explain. There's another idea which we're really out of time already. But the idea of besides the fact that it's Biyad Hashem, there's another issue. David did not want to be suspected of taking advantage of a bad situation. What do I mean? If David says, I'm going to decide famine, then people will accuse David, oh, because you are selfish. The king will always have what to eat. The king always, they have a supply, they have storage, they'll get food. The king, the royal family will always have what to eat. The Hamoinam, they're going to starve. Like in North Korea, what's going on in North Korea? The common man there is literally starving to death. But the king there, the president there, he doesn't look like he's starving. He looks like he has... What?
UN sends food
to North Korea also, but yeah, sure, people are okay, but so they're going to accuse David. David did not want to be suspect. The Yisem the king the Hashem in Israel. So therefore, he did not want to choose famine because people will accuse him because he want to survive. What about war? Also, David will say they'll say, "Yay! What's the big deal for you? You have the beast." You have your bulletproof limousine, and when you go out to war, you'll be an armored tank, and you have your giborim, you have elite troops, Navy SEALs, they will go in front of you, they will protect you, you'll be okay. But the common man, we go out to war, and you give us some old weapons, some old rifles, we're not going to survive. But Dever, there's no, everyone is equal. When it comes to Dever, it's going to be a strike from above, because the Shbaruch Hu, a certain type of disease, that's Lamala, Miderech
HaTeva. God makes his choice then, too.
What?
He picks and chooses at that point.
Right, exactly. What? By what?
Dever.
Exactly. Even the king is not free from Dever.
But it's not haphazard.
Of course, exactly. So that's why exactly what Rashi is telling us. Besides the reason that it should be Biyad Hashem, and therefore there'll be an opportunity for him to reverse it, Hashem will administer the punishment with compassion, there's another reason why David chose Dever, because David did not want to be suspect from Klal Yisrael. V'yisim nikim Hashem Yisrael. If I'm going to choose famine or war, people will say, yeah, because you want to preserve your own life, the life of your family.
But maybe because Dever is a temporary setback, war is a
permanent.
Is basically there at a
not necessarily. Okay, all right, okay. That's another idea. It's another idea, but that's not this over here. That idea is not being presented at this moment by Rashi. Rashi here is telling us another idea, which in fact in the Gemara, the Medrash brings out that it's sheshove bechol ashirim v'aniim ki rabim rachamov ula yirachim. If Hashem administers the punishment, perhaps you'll have rachamonis. Avol oyveinu lo yirachameinu aleinu. Our enemies will not have compassion upon us. Okay, so that concludes. This was a very, very powerful pasuk. We say it, most of us say this every single day, twice a day. Something to keep in mind. Vayomer David El God Sarli Ma'od. At that moment in time, we recognize that we're guilty and we're going to have to suffer. And therefore, we ask Hashem Elisha bring upon the punishment which comes directly from him. Because if it comes upon us directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a possibility we'll have rachamim and he will spare us from the harm. Evlo bi Hashem ki rabim rachamov uviyad adam. Okay, we will stop here.